our own lives. What place not the monarchy, but what place the king? Because you're struck with the queen on the TV, the ambiguities and the paradoxes and potentially the pains in her family life, the reality of the monarchy, but there is a deeper, more profound reality, and that's there is a God, and as we celebrate today, he is king in a particular way, Christ as king. And as regular members will know, this parish church has a beautiful coloured glass window adorned to Christ as king, seated on the throne. The reality of what it means that Jesus Christ is king for my life. So 3 points, if I may, taken in principle from Jeremiah chapter 23. We will give him the name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness. And in the Old Testament, the word righteousness has got a couple of meanings. One, something to do with justice, and the other, something to do with healing and salvation and being restored to God wholly. But first, to pick up on this very powerful word, because it's got some contemporary resonances of justice. The Lord will execute justice. Things will be done rightly and finally at one time. So the king's justice with full understanding. One of the most powerful refrains within the Christian tradition is that when you have Christ as king in heaven, you have a lamb upon the throne. So it is a royal place. It is a place where there is a monarchy. There is a throne. And the picture of Christ as king on the throne is that of a lamb. Of course, the earliest Christian creed, Jesus is Lord, but we rightly sing, he is the lamb upon the throne. There is the king's justice with full understanding. And so our own diocese, and I think much of the country, have been reflecting recently on violence, particularly against women. And much has been done in our own parish on preventing and offering support and hope to victims of domestic violence, both men and women. The so-called White Ribbon campaign. There is much injustice throughout the world today. But what does it therefore mean that Christ is king, he is the lamb upon the throne? It is almost impossible to plumb the depths of what this truly means. But reflect with me for a moment that in heaven there is a victim-like, there is a suffering image of God, there is a lamb-like image of God on the throne. Forgive me if you've heard this before, it is certainly worth repeating. And if I can say with a degree of empathy and sincerity, as oftentimes you find on a newscast, if you are moved by these things, then please contact. I certainly am moved by this reflection. And if that is the case today, then by all means chat with someone. If there is a difficulty or an injustice or a sense that you are a victim and that it is painful to deal with now, there is little hope in the vicar saying, well, you need to wait till then when there is a lamb on the throne to sort it out. Actually, I think we probably all should be more moved all the time. But if it's the case now, friends, you are amongst friends as we gather around the Lord's table. The long silence. Christ is king. The lamb is on the throne. The king's justice with full understanding. At the end of time, billions of people were scattered on the vast plain before God's throne. Some shrank back from the brilliant light before them, but many other groups talked heatedly, not cringing with shame, but with belligerence. Can God judge us? How can he know about suffering? Snapped a pert brunette. She ripped open a sleeve to reveal a tattooed number from a Nazi concentration camp. We endured terror, beating, torture, death. In another group, a Negro boy lowered his collar. "What about this?" he demanded, showing an ugly rope burn, lynched for no crime but being black. In another crowd, there was a pregnant schoolgirl with sullen eyes. "Why should I suffer?" she murmured. "It wasn't my fault." Far out across the plain were thousands of such groups. Each had a complaint against God for all the evil and suffering he permitted in his world. How lucky God was to live in heaven, where all was sweetness and light, where there was no weeping and fear, no hunger or hatred, or sickness or sorrow. What did God know of that humankind that had been forced to endure his world? After all, God leads a rather sheltered sort of life, they said. So each of these groups sent forth a leader, especially chosen because they'd suffered the most, a Jew, a Negro, a person from Hiroshima, a horribly deformed arthritic, a thalidomide child, an AIDS victim. And in the centre of the vast plain, these leaders consulted with each other, and at last they were ready to present their case. Item by item, leader by leader, to God. It was rather pertinent. Before God could be qualified to be their judge, he must endure what they'd endured. Their decision was that God should be sentenced to live on earth as a human being and as a man. Let him be born of the most despised race, a Jew. In poverty-stricken conditions, let the legitimacy of his birth be doubted. As a child, let him be forced to flee as a refugee and to live several years in a foreign country. Then give him a work to do, that an ideal to uphold, that is so difficult that even his own family will think him out of his mind when he tries to do it. Let him be betrayed by his closest colleague into the hands of those who hate him. Let him face false charges, be tried by a prejudiced jury, and be convicted by a cowardly judge. And at last, let him see what it means to be terribly, terribly alone, forsaken by all his friends. Let him be tortured. Then let him die. Let him die the most excruciating and humiliating death possible before a taunting, reviling crowd that only verified his death but contributed to it. As each leader announced his portion of the sentence, loud murmurs of approval went up from the whole assembled throng. When the last leader had finished pronouncing his part of the sentence, there was a long silence. No one uttered another word. Nobody moved. For suddenly everyone knew that God had already served his sentence. Friends, the king's justice with full understanding. The lamb upon the throne. Buckingham Palace is there. She's probably not going to sell it. There's a lamb upon the throne. There's a king in heaven. Always will be. The issue for today is whether you get that or not. Whether with the pains and the ambiguities and the paradoxes and the sufferings of life, you recognize that he's there for you, the Lamb upon the throne, and can with empathy and understanding draw alongside those who do face suffering and difficulty and say, not with trite, glib words, but that God is there for you. So the king's justice, this is my first point, with full understanding, the Lamb upon the throne, the Lord our righteousness, justice will be done. And then the king's work, hidden but definitive. Whenever our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb upon the throne, spoke about the kingdom of heaven, he didn't say, let me take you around the palace and how great the carpets are and look at this picture. This one was before me and all that. He said, let me tell you a story. The kingdom of heaven is like. And every parable starts with the kingdom of heaven is like, the Lamb upon the throne is like, and the kingdom of God is like this, here and now. All of the images are really quite small. You can almost hardly see them. Unlikely that there will be applause in this life. It's a seed. It's a sower. It's a small talent. That's in this life, and at the next life it is definitive. The kingdom work is hidden now, but in the next life it will be definitive. There are either going to be wise, or there will be those who are foolish. There will be those who are sheep. There will be those that are goats. There will be those that are in heaven. And there will be those, and there's no queue jumping. I hate shopping. The worst bits are the queues. Why don't they open another aisle? And they do. And there's a stampede to get to it. And I get a mild triumph when I get to the front of the aisle that's open. But past the gate of mortality, there's no queue jumping. There's no fresh aisle open. If you're a goat in this life, you'll be a goat in the next. If you're foolish in this life, you'll not be wise in the next. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? The work that's done for the King will be hidden, secret and small. But in the next life, there's no transferring or queue jumping. It doesn't work like that, and I didn't make this up. These are Jesus' stories. The kingdom of heaven is like. And then thirdly and finally, the King's invitation. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 23, he is the Lord our righteousness. This is how you will know him. He's the God of perfect justice that wants to bring salvation. But this is how his name is revealed. Interesting conversations this week I've had with a couple of people loosely associated with the church, and the conversations actually went really well. And I think more will be done in the Spirit's goodness and wisdom. But most of the conversation started interesting psychology, that the people I was talking to should tell the Vicar of Tunbridge what they thought a Christian is. You've got God sorted out of you. And you know how things are to be with the Christian faith and the Christian life. You see, if I want to get to Buckingham Palace, I can't just break in, otherwise I get arrested. I need to wait for the invitation. The terms are with Her Majesty. And the name by which the Lord our righteousness will be given is the disclosing name of how God is. We don't make up the terms for how we get to know him. He gives them to us, and we accept them with open hands. So the Christians say it's by faith alone, through grace alone. Empty-handed we come to the King, giving him only our failures and our humanity, and asking that he accepts us. And when we do that, he gives us his invitation. He gives us his love, he gives us his forgiveness and his presence. And Christ the King lives within. The Lord our righteousness, the name by which God will be known. How he chooses to make that invitation and the revelation of himself is with him alone. Not with us to say, well, I'd like to get to Buckingham Palace through that way, please. Do you know it's all right to be a good person, to be a moral person, or to try really hard, or it's about the way I live my life. These are the sorts of things that one might be saying. The Lamb upon the throne offers his invitation to receive the presence of the King by faith and trust in Jesus Christ, by faith alone, through grace alone. Let's pause and bow our heads to pray and reflect on that question I began with in the Lord, in the prayer. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? May our hearts be open this day to receive from His Majesty, to do things His way and in His name. Father, once more we open our hearts and lives to you. Pray that the presence of King Jesus might come in by his mercy, his forgiveness, and his presence. Help me to recognize the presence of King Jesus in all I think, do, and say. And may I answer that question, who will be on the Lord's side, who will serve the King, with full commitment, honesty, and truth, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you, Mark.